right, take your Bible. We're going to the book of Jude. Book of Jude this morning. And if you go to the book of Revelation, you went too far, take a lamp, go back to the little book of Jude. Just 25 verses. And I don't want to deal so much with the book of Jude as I will read a couple verses and then we'll go to the book of Hebrews, all right? And I'll spend my time in the book of Hebrews, but we'll read a couple verses here in Jude, verse number, let's start reading about verse number 20. Be all right. Jude, verse 20. Would you find your place to stand with me if you can in able and honor and reverence to the reading of the word of the Lord? Jude, verse 20. And the Bible said, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Boy, there's a lot in verse 20. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And notice verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Now, listen to me. I'm not going to say much, but I said a few things. That verse is misquoted a lot of times. A lot of times you'll hear somebody say, and some have compassion, making a difference. That's what the Bible says. Bible said, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Isn't that right? Not that some have compassion, but of some have compassion, making a difference. Verse 23, and others, saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, just for a moment. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, the Bible said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice verse 7. By faith Noah made warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I sure do love you. Lord, I'm thankful for the privilege of the honor to be back in your house. Lord, we can leave right now saying that it's been good to be here. Lord, I pray, help us as we study your word together. Lord, I pray, help us take his truth and apply it to our hearts and life. Lord, I pray you do that today that only you can. Lord, we'll be careful. Give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name for sake. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Now, if you'll let me, I promise you I probably won't do more talking than I'll do anything this morning as far as mannerism. Don't let that bother you. You can preach and not have Kinslopper, Smith, and Jump, and all that. But here's what I want you to see. I'll tell you something, and I don't mean this. I almost really didn't want to preach this because I don't want to have to say what I'm getting ready to say. But several days this week, there was an individual that, for whatever reason, just decided to bombard me just about every night over at the tent meeting. If I told you it was, somebody probably know who he is, so I'm not telling you who he was. But I don't know why, but he seemed to really not like me very much, and that's all right. I've dealt with stuff like that in the past. But he made this statement multiple times. He said that you ought not try to scare somebody into getting saved. And he said that fear is not a proper motive for salvation. And God help, when I preached that message Thursday night, I mean, he likes to come unglued. But anyway, I thought about that all week. Now, I want to show you what the Bible says. Bible says there in the book of Jude, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Now here's what I want to show you. I'm not trying to give you my opinion, I'm trying to give you the Bible. Now here's what I want you to understand. There's been a lot, seems like this morning, a lot of burden concerning your loved ones, your friends, and your family. That's wonderful. That thrills my heart as your pastor to see the church coming under a greater burden for the lost. Here's what I want to tell you. Different people are warned different ways.
Yep.
Alright? They some, now listen to me, they some And you can get them in the church, the man of God get up, preach hell hot, boy, they'll fall under conviction, and they'll run to an altar, and they'll get saved, and never look back.
Yeah.
And there's others that is in that same service, and all we do is turn them sour on the church, and they say, I ain't never going back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? They say, you just show some compassion, just show some love, just show some support, some empathy, some sympathy, and maybe just do something nice for them. They begin to think, boy, that maybe there is something to this thing. Maybe there is something about being a Christian and being saved. That they do care about me. The Bible said, us love has compassion. Making a difference. Now, the Bible said it like this, he who winneth souls is wise. Now, I preach that the majority of my early ministry as it's a wise thing to win souls. And it is. But can I say this? I think a true soul winner has to have some wisdom. There has to be a time that we understand that there are some that we're going to have to show compassion, therefore making a difference.
Yeah. Right.
Then there's some, the Bible said, that you save with fear.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? What's what your Bible says? You don't have to turn with me. You say from Hebrews, James, or Jude, verse number 23. And others save with fear. Isn't that right? Jude said, they some you show compassion to, you'd make a difference. And these others, he said, you're going to have to save with fear. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, but I don't mean this disrespectful to that individual, and I really don't. I wouldn't dare tell you who it is, but here's what I want to say. I don't give two rips what he thinks.
Right.
I want to know what the Bible said, don't
right.
you? And
yeah.
Now listen, here's what I'm telling you. There's some that you show compassion to, and according to the book of Jude, you'd make a difference in their life by showing compassion.
Right.
But there's others where the Bible said, save with fear. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Watch this. That's not all that he said. What your Bible says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Here's what Jesus is saying. There's some that you just show compassion to and make a difference, but there's others that you will have to save with fear. Literally pulling them out of the fire. Literally reaching in and trying to pull them out. How the Bible went on to say, notice this, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That word garment, this is interesting to me, good message for you to go listen to it. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was Mae Jackson, but I might be wrong. I feel like I am. It might be somebody else. But if you searched it on YouTube, it'd pull it up. That word garment literally in the Greek means undergarment. That's what it means. But it might have been Ralph Sexton I was thinking about. Whoever it was, one of them older preachers preached a message one time out of that text and preached on this thought. Why God hates dirty underwear. Tremendous, tremendous message. You ought to go listen to it if you get a chance. But that word means undergarment. Here's what he said, John. Faith to others, you want to save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Here's what he said. You ought to love the sinner. You ought to save them with fear. But you won't have to hate sin. Isn't there going to come a time? Now listen to me. I'm not trying to be ugly. God hates sin. Isn't that right? And there'll be something in our hearts. Yes, there's times that absolutely. Let me give you an example. I feel like I might be losing some of that. Here's what I mean. There might be someone individual sitting on the side of the road begging. Now, John, you can come by and say, let me go buy you a hamburger. Let me go buy you a beer. Let me buy you a coat. Let me buy you a pair of shoes. And let me help you. And that might be the very thing God uses to convict their heart and they might get saved because you had compassion.
Right.
Is that right? Then there's others. What the Bible says, and others say, you might go right down the road and find somebody or a situation. And you might have to save them with fire. Might just get tough with them and just say, listen, you put yourself in this shape. It wasn't for the drugs, and it wasn't for this, and it wasn't for that, and it wasn't for this, and it wasn't for that. If it wasn't for these decisions, you would not be here. And not really showing that much compassion, but loving the sinner, but hating the sin, and calling out for what it is, and let them know because of that, they deserve to die and go to hell. That might make a difference in that man's life. Is that right?
Yeah.
Every situation's different. Now, you say, preacher, you mean to tell me that some we show compassion and some we say with fear? Well, I'll say this. I believe that really we're showing compassion both ways. We still love the sinner. I'm not telling you to hate the sinner. The people get right out of shape. I had a lady come up to me Thursday night at the tent. She said, you mean to tell me that you've never met me, yet you're going to tell me that I deserve to go to hell? And I said, yes, ma'am, that's what I mean to tell you. She said, well, how can you do that? And I said, because we all deserve to go to hell. I said, it's not that I don't like you. It's not that I think I'm better than you. I said, it's the fact that I love you enough that I want you to know why. That unless you get saved by the marvelous grace of God, you will go to hell. Is that right? That's compassion. It's saving with fear. But it is compassion. So, we see that here in the book of Jude. Now, say with me here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We know tonight, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter of the Word of God. That's been referred by many as the hall of faith. That you'll find as you study through Hebrews 11, no doubt faith is the theme. And over and over again, you'll find that by faith and through faith and faith, 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 over and over again, all these different individuals. We start out all the way back. And verse 4, the Bible said, by faith, Abel offered unto God. And we go all the way back to Abel, and we see how faith, 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 can I say this, it's always been by grace through faith. Isn't that right? Whether it was by compassion or whether it was by fear, every man, woman, boy, girl gets saved by grace through faith. Isn't that right? Now, I'll show that to you if you'll let me tonight, or this morning. The Bible says, verse 6, notice the importance of faith. The Bible said, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. My soul, what a statement. I believe that Paul was the writer of the book of Hebrews. You don't have to agree with that, but that's my opinion. I believe it was the Apostle Paul, and whoever the writer was, they said, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Amen. You cannot this morning please God, but by faith. And so we'll find, as we study the book of Hebrews and look through this chapter, that not everyone would be considered a great man or a great woman or a great Christian hero, but we find them as a hero of faith. You study David. David did many things that was not well-pleasing unto God, but he pleased God by faith. Is that right? Now stay with me. Moses did many things that was not pleasing to God, but yet we find him in the hall of faith, not because of his works, but because of his faith. Amen. And the writer said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And that right, it is our faith that pleases God. Without that, it is impossible. Now watch this. The Bible says, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Notice with me quickly the prerequisite here in our text. That's without faith is impossible. Please say, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, verse 6 deals with either instance. Whether it's by compassion or whether it's by fear. It is, in either case, impossible to please God without faith. Is that right?
Yep.
Does not matter whether it was by compassion or by fear, it takes faith, by grace through faith, in order to be saved. Isn't that right? It is impossible to please God without faith. Not only do you have to have faith, but the Bible went on to say, there in verse 6, for he that cometh to God must, notice that now, must believe, must believe that he is. What about that? Not only tonight, this morning, must you have faith, but the Bible said you must believe that He is. Yes. All right. Don't fall out with me. I'm just being honest. Don't make that more complicated than it is. That doesn't mean I'm putting some grand gesture to being saved. But I'll tell you this, you'll not call on somebody you don't believe exists. Right? You must believe he is. Right? Now watch this. Not only that, but the Bible says have faith, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now you say, preacher, what do you say? Here's what I'm saying tonight, this morning. The prerequisite of salvation in either case is this. Must have faith. Now I've got good news. The Bible teaches that God has given every man a measure of faith.
Amen.
That's not something you have to work at yourself. God has given every individual the faith that it takes to be saved. Is that right?
Right.
The question is where you'll place that faith. You with me?
Yep.
So he's giving you the faith. You must believe that he is. Now, here's what I want to say. You said, preacher, that might be difficult. There's a lot of people that are atheists, a lot of people that are agnostic, a lot of people that believe in other religions, all these things. Here's what the Bible said, that even nature testifies unto God.
Yeah, right.
Is that right? Amen. God has given everything that we need, but you must believe that he is this morning. Amen. The Bible said, watch this, Matthew 9, verse 6. The Bible said it like this. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here's what you must believe. The Bible said in the book of Romans, said it like this. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You must believe that he is. You must believe, stay with me just a minute. You must have faith, you must believe that he is. And then you must believe that if you'll seek him, he'll not turn you away. That's the prerequisite. That's it. The Bible says that he does good to those that diligently seek him. That's what I did when I got saved.
Yeah.
I put my faith in him. I believed that he was. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I believe with all my heart that if I'd ask him to save me, that's what he'd do.
Yeah.
That's the prerequisite. Now we go to verse 7. That's where we're going to get. I don't know the prerequisite, but I want you to notice in verse 7, we see a specific example of salvation. Now, what's your Bible says in verse 7? By faith, you'll find that over and over and over again. You know why? You're saved by grace through faith. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Grace is what God extends toward man. Faith is what man places in God. Isn't that right? It is a mutual, God does the same, I understand that it is a mutual agreement. God extends grace, man places his faith in the Lord. Isn't that right? So God, Bible said in the book of Genesis, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that right? Now we find in Hebrews 11 that Noah placed his faith in that grace. Isn't that right? Watch this. By faith, watch what the Bible says, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark and sang his house, by which he condemned the world, became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, that's interesting. I love verse 7. Begins with the two words, by faith. Ends with the two words, by faith. Can I say this? Almost 22 years ago now, God, I got saved. You know how my Christian life started? By faith. One of these days, if you walk by my casket and look in and see my body, you know how it'll end it? By faith. Isn't that right? By grace through faith. Isn't that right? Alright, what a joy that is. What's this? I gotta hurry. Not only do we see the prerequisite verse 6, notice, if you would, the prophecy in verse 7. The Bible said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now you say, preacher, that don't mean much to me. Let's talk about this moment. I'm hurrying, I promise. I can't go too long and lose my horse. Think about it like this. We know tonight, this morning I don't have to spend much time on it. God tells Noah to build the ark, because you're going to send a flood, it's going to rain, it never rained before. That's what we're talking about, things not seen of yet. Now you just imagine. Well, I've heard people say, can you imagine the faith that took? And they make that sound real big, and it, well, I'm not diminishing it, but can I say this? I'm the good representative of those things, right? Is that right? That was a night somebody warned you. If you didn't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. You ain't seen that yet.
Right.
Hey, so a man will despite the message I preached Thursday night. I'm not trying to diminish it. But the truth of the matter is, John, there is not a man, woman, boy, or girl living today that can't see into heaven.
That's right. Yeah.
Not a one of us. It means we're being lowered that of things not seen as of yet. Is that right? Noah was talking a little bit before preaching service started. He's talking about some of his things about preaching. Asked me about it. He's talking about I may be blowing the lid off for him, but he's talking about it. Doesn't think about me preaching on when you look into hell. What do you see? Almost kind of the idea of when you look into heaven. What do you see? How can I say this is about a man, woman, boy, girl alive today ever seen heaven?
That's
right. It's not seen as of yet. We've been warned of God of things which must be hereafter, but we have not seen it. Isn't that right?
Right.
Same thing Noah was. He was warned of God that it would rain and it would flood and the earth would be destroyed. But he had not seen it as of yet.
Right.
But it's the grace and the mercy of God that God gave him warning. Isn't that right? That's same thing here, and we make application that God would send the Word of God, men of God, to proclaim and preach that there is a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun, that and to warn us of things not seen as of yet, that it's when a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. I've not seen that. I've not seen anybody set the judgment seat of Christ. I've not seen the great white throne judgment. But by the good grace of God, I have been warned of things not seen as of yet. Isn't that right? Oh my, we see the prophecy. Aren't you glad for the Word of God that reveals to us and warns us of things that are not seen as of yet? Then not only that, watch what the Bible said. By faith, Noah being warned of God, things not seen as yet, move with fear. I believe when Noah saw heard those things, when God warned him of these things that had not come yet, the Bible said, not my opinion, not what I think, what the Bible said, that Noah was moved with fear.
Yeah.
So we see tonight, we see the prerequisite in verse number 6. We see the prophecy in verse 7. Then we see the preparing. The Bible said he was moved with fear. You said, preacher, what was it caused Noah to build the ark? Fear.
Yeah.
That's right. Fear. It was fear. I'm not getting my finger where your Bible said, move with fear. It was fear that got him up in the morning to go to saw down trees and cut lumber and nail up boards and do every thing that he did. Church took the ark that day and went up there a few weeks ago, and he said, can you imagine how much work this would have been? And I tell you what it was that drove Noah to do it, prepared him to do it. It was fear that if he didn't do it, that he'd die along with everybody else. And the Bible said, being warned of God, her place not seen of yet, moved with fear. Oh, yes, but I tell you, I don't give two rips what anybody else says. When you get to thinking about things that are coming after, things not seen as of yet, it ought to move you with fear. Isn't that right?
Amen. Right.
Oh, God. Let me say this morning already that you've got loved ones and friends and family that are lost. It ought to move you with fear this morning. To realize that things are coming. The Lord could come back today. We may never make it to Easter Sunday. The time to share the gospel. The time to do something for the Lord is quickly passing by. The Bible said, while it's yet day, let a man work. Close the night cometh when no man can work. Isn't that right? The time is coming when there will be an opportunity to spread the gospel. For the Bible said that Noah was moved with fear. Oh, God help us. It ought to move us with fear when we realize if you're here today and you're lost, never been saved, it ought to move you with fear to realize that if you died this moment, you lift your eyes in hell, bitter and torment, that's not some casual thing. That's not something to brush off. That's not something to cast aside. But God, in His grace and His mercy, has warned you of things not seen as of yet. You ought to move fear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just a fearful thing, falling into the hands of a living God. Isn't that right? Oh, my. That was his propelling. He was moved with fear. Not only that, notice this. You said, preacher, what did he do? We see his preparation. What's what the Bible said? By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Listen to this. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now, here's the thing. The Bible said that Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Well, that's good thing, isn't it? Then went on to say he prepared an ark. Now, here's what we see. I'm not saying tonight, this morning, that you have to do something in order to be saved, but I would say this. When you're warned of God of things not seen as of yet, and you're moved with fear, you ought to prepare your heart, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
It demands a response.
Yeah.
It demands an action.
Yeah.
This morning, somebody said, I forget who it was, somebody said this morning they appreciate Noah teaching or preaching, whatever it might have been. Chris said that. I don't mean this. I'll tell you what it was. It was preaching. You know how I know it was preaching? It demanded a response.
Yeah.
All right? It required a response. That's the reason that, I'm not being, that's the reason they give an invitation to people come to the altar, because it demanded a response. That's preaching.
Yeah.
Teaching, yeah, it's not the, I don't have time to get all this, but it's not the mannerisms, and it's not hacking and spitting and slobber and all that, that makes it preaching. That's not it at all. It's not being calm and cool that makes it teaching. Teaching is simply that, teaching you, learn something. But preaching demands that the congregation, and by the way, you're not a crowd.
That's right.
You're not an audience.
Amen.
You're not a viewer. You're a congregation.
Yeah.
You know what a difference with all that is? A viewer, a spectator, shows up to watch.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? A congregation takes part.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You take part in this service. It's not tonight. God, it's not a show. It's a service.
Amen.
Right. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I don't know how we got here, but we feel pretty good, so I'll just stay with it. You're not a spectator that shows up to watch a show. You're a congregation that shows up to take part of the service that you take part in. It's not just a spectator sport. But then we come together to worship and magnify and serve and worship the Lord together. And that's the reason that we're here. And can I say, listen to me now. When it comes to being moved with fear, it ought to bring forth some action. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You're here today, you're lost. You said, preacher, I've never been saved. You realize being warned of God of things not seen as of yet. It moves you with fear. It calls for an action. It calls for you to prepare yourself to meet that demand. Isn't that right? You're here today, you're saved. You said, preacher, I realize being warned of God of things not seen as of yet. I've got family. I've got friends. I've got loved ones who will die and go to hell. And it moves you with fear. That's what I left to this morning. There's a call for action. And the Bible said that he prepared an ark not to the saving of himself. The Bible said to the saving of his house.
Right.
Isn't that right? He wasn't just moved with fear about himself. He's moved with fear concerning his entire family. Can I say this? People say Noah doesn't have a very effective ministry. I believe he's got a very, very effective ministry. It thrilled my heart to know that I have a ministry as effective as Noah. Hey, you said, preacher, what many people got saved is just his family. Well, I say amen to that.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
What a sad thing for a man to win the whole world and lose his own family.
Right.
Boy, the Bible says, moved with fear, have prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Oh, God, help us this time. We get moved with fear, child of God, and realize that we've got family and friends that are dying and going to hell. There ought to be a preparation.
Amen.
Spirit, then you're lost, never been saved. Oh, God, help your heart to tonight, this morning. You ought to be moved with fear. You ought to find yourself preparing to give your heart to the Lord. Preparing your heart to be able to escape the damnation that's waiting you. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Watch this. We see the direction. We see the prophecy. We see the preparing. We see the preparation. Then I want to go through, if you would, the picture. I won't say much about this, and I've heard it. Look what your Bible said. Verse 7. My faith, you've been warned of God, things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to save his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now, you say, preacher, what are you saying about this picture? Now, if you went with us on the ark trip, you've heard me say this. The ark in itself is a type of Christ. While God poured out his wrath and sealed the world, Noah and his family was safe and secure inside the ark. We got saved. We were placed in Christ. More there than I can deal with. But it is a picture of Christ. The ark's a picture of Christ. But what I'm interested in is this. The Bible said that in doing so, he prepared an ark to save his house. And in doing so, condemned the world. Here's what the Bible's saying. Here above Hebrews. Here's what had to happen in order for Noah and his family to be saved. When he decided he's going to be obedient to the Word of God and build the ark, the Bible said in doing so, he condemned the world. Here's what happened. Noah said, despite what anybody else does, I'm going to be obedient. Despite what anybody else thinks, I'm going to do what the Lord says. Despite what anybody else says or does, I'm going to save my family. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
They're going to say, Lord, you get moved with fear. Get prepared to give your heart to the Lord. You won't care what anybody else thinks. You won't care what anybody else does. Child of God, if you'd really get moved with fear this morning, you wouldn't care what the world thought when you went to work tomorrow and tried to witness somebody.
Right.
You wouldn't care what your family thought next time you seen them when you tried to witness to them. You wouldn't care what anybody said, what anybody does. If you really got moved with fear, got your heart prepared with the Lord, you wouldn't care. You condemned the whole world to save your house.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Now, I'll say this. I got called out on, well, I didn't get called out on this week, but it was said this week that I was around that you ought not, when you give an invitation, you ought not ask for heads bowed, eyes closed, that if somebody's under conviction, they can come whether you did that or not. I'll agree with that. That's fine. Now, here's what I want you to say. You say, preacher, why do you do that, man? Well, here's the reason. I believe it's not essential to be saved. Majority of times people get saved, don't raise their hand. I've just been honest. A lot of times somebody comes, they didn't even raise their hand. But here's what I found. I found sometimes it just helps somebody slip their hand up and admit it. Just to say, I've never been saved. Just to find out, you know, what's that preacher don't treat me a bit different or he didn't hold me. I'm just praying it ahead. Somebody else don't want to do it, fine. Whatever I want to say, I want to say, I will say this. When it finally gets time, when you see on your face, and it's time, they run, it's as long as they can run. They don't care if heads are bowed or not. They don't care if there's anybody looking. When it finally gets to that point, they don't care what anybody, they tell you to the point, whatever they've been wrestling, whatever they've been working, they don't care.
Yeah.
They've finally been moved with fear. They've prepared themselves to the saving of themselves and their house. And man, they don't care. They condemn the whole world. At that point, Nancy, they're willing to turn their back on anybody and everybody. They're willing to give up anything that it takes. They've just got to the point that they've been moved with fear and they've got to run to the Lord. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
That's the picture. Noah got to the point. He didn't care. Now, while I believe he had compassion, while I believe he had love, while I believe that, I do believe the Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. I do believe that he tried to warn the people. But I tell you, he got moved to the point he realized it didn't matter if anybody else got on that ark. It didn't matter if anybody else believed. It didn't matter if anybody helped that. He had to do it because for the saving of him and his house. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful prayer. So we see the picture. Now we'll close this and I'm done. I'm quitting right here. Notice what we last in verse 7. Notice the prospering. The Bible said in verse 7 that art the Satan's half by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which he is by faith. Now, let's have one more time. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 6, I believe it is, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He said, "For you telling me he got saved?" Absolutely. The Bible said he became an heir of righteousness, which he is by faith. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, put his faith in that grace. The Bible said he became an heir of righteousness. Can I say this? Here's how Paul told us in the New Testament. We are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. All because through the grace of God, we put our faith in the grace that God extended. Not anything that I've done, not anything that I, me or you, either one have done, or anything we deserve, but by grace, through faith, look at how our life has prospered. Wondering if this morning, where we'd be if not for grace? Where would we be if we never put our faith in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? Not telling this morning where we might be. Listen to me. Now listen. Noah was moved, being warned of God, as things not seen as yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Doing so, condemned the world. And became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. That's not salvation experience all the one we have. But he was moved with fear. What about that? Can I say this in the center of the cross of the building? These musicians are looking at this whole generation. I don't know your heart this morning.